Hi, I'm Fozia Ismail and I run Arruelo Eats, which is a Somali supper club in Bristol.
Up on a hill in a leafy part of Bristol, I arrive at Foz's supper club to be met by her husband Andy, who helps cook the food and host the evening. The main reason to set up the supper club was a need to reconnect with her roots, she explains.
With the EU vote, with all this kind of hostile environment, to be honest, I was just wanting to relearn my culture and really reconnect with my culture through the food. So that's what really drove it, because I grew up in London and my family are still there, and I miss Somali food essentially when I moved to Bristol, because the truth is I never used to cook it at all because I had my mom cooking it for me. So it was partly because I had to learn to cook the food. Welcome to Arruelo Eat, and today is Somaliland Independence Day. Woo! So we've had 27 years of freedom.
The name Arruelo Eats comes from stories of an ancient Somali queen who was known for female empowerment. In some stories, she's portrayed as having castrated men, but for Foz, it's the fact that she forged her own path which is important, a bit like Foz's own mother and Foz herself.
My mum is an amazing cook, but she's illiterate. She grew up as a nomad on the Ethiopia-Somaliland border. So my mum's lifestyle, what she would have grown up with, would have been so different to us. And I think when she left Somaliland and she went to Kuwait, she really, I think she enjoyed having the access to, the level of access to different foods. She was married off to my dad, who came from the city. And yeah, she didn't have a chance of education in that way, but I felt when we moved she really gave us, she taught us a lot through food.
And now Foz is teaching her guests through food.
I haven't actually tried it yet. I'm waiting to hear about it.
Yes.
It's exciting.
So this is, dawa means medicine in Somali and Swahili. And
she introduces each dish to the 14 people who have arrived and are congregating in the kitchen as preparations go on in the background.
Every time I do this, I don't know whether it's rocket fuel or not. It's really, there's a lot of vodka in here, basically. But you can't taste it.
Foz's mother had 10 children, including Foz. And having had a difficult relationship with Foz's father, she moved to the UK alone with her children to start a new life in 1985.
So my family's big. They're 5 brothers, 4 sisters. But then on top of that, visitors that come through during Ramadan, and you're just feeding so many people. So, like, bags of onions that you'd just be cutting through again and again and again, and you'd have a job, and then sambusa, you'd be making the samosa, or we call it sambusa, and it would be lines of, you know, it's just, but in those moments in the kitchen, that's the time she was probably most relaxed. That's the time that I felt connected, really. But I didn't really learn any of the stuff. Like, I'd love to learn to make lahoh properly. So lahoh is like the sorghum-based pancake. It's sort of similar to injera, which is the Ethiopian pancake, but different. It is quite different. It's less spongy. It's got that sour flavour, but it's less spongy and it's smaller as well. So you can eat it for breakfast. You have it for breakfast normally, but you could also have it with curries. So you can have it sweet or savoury. She makes great, like, certain skills that I think I still need to practice, you know. That's why it matters to me, because I feel like she shone through her food. And also other ways, she's incredibly bright, but it's really a shame that she didn't have that opportunity to be able to read and write, just because of the state of the world and sexism and also poverty. This is sambusa. You've got the menu there. I've got a roasted squash as well, roasted squash and coconut with lentils.
Foz studied social anthropology at Cambridge University. She says she enjoyed her time there, but also sometimes found it difficult as a Somali woman who grew up on a council estate in London in amongst a majority of privileged, rich, white people.
I like the challenge of being there, but I also felt like it is so, so removed from reality, because you'd have all these super rich white kids who were completely thoughtless about the way they travelled around the world, just in a completely entitled way. I felt like very patronised by the whole process of doing social anthropology there. as a Somali woman. But I enjoyed, you know, studying, and it's given me a real interest in reading. Yeah, I like that I can use that to analyse the food world.
That trendy food world of supper clubs and the latest world cuisine to be in also tends to be white-dominated, says Foz, who has written a paper on the subject for the Oxford Symposium of Food and gives talks about food and identity politics around the UK.
This is an extra special. Baris is like a lovely celebratory Somali palaverite, basically.
Part of me is a bit angry about the fact that the links between food, travel and wealth have not been made, and that actually the it's wealthier white people that travel abroad. It's wealthier white people that discover that's new foods. I can't articulate that on radio properly, but that's inverted commas I'm doing. But you know, this idea of discovering food as if it never existed before the white gaze. That's something that I really find offensive. We also have pasta, massive pasta,
okay,
from the Italian influence. Yeah, so basta is what we call it.
Somali food and Somali identity also bear the marks of trade, colonisation and spheres of influence. Foz explains that they have pasta left over from the Italian presence and lots of Middle Eastern and Arab influences. Indigenous Somali culture is important to Foz, despite the fact that she was born in Kuwait and has an Arabic-influenced name. Engaging with her blackness and her African roots is where she and many other young Somalis are now headed.
I think there are lots of Somalis who are re-engaging with their blackness. So I've always identified as black British Somali. But there's lots of issues of internalised racism, where some Somali people don't want to be associated with Africa and want to be associated with Arab and, you know, Arabic culture more than the Somali culture. But I think there's a real fight back against this way of thinking. There are so many young Somalis that are re-educating themselves about their own indigenous culture pre-Islamic.
This exploration of her Somali indigenous culture comes neatly back to the idea of hospitality in the supper club, inviting people into your home and cooking for them.
I love that aspect of hospitality, which is really important to nomadic culture. I think all Somalis grow up with a sense of knowing and caring about hospitality because of you rely on your neighbours and you rely on your community and you help out when you can because you might need them in the next year if you have a drought or if your crops fail. You know, I really think that's really important.
Yeah, hey, everyone, hello. Thank you so much for coming to the Supper Club. I hope you guys have enjoyed trying out some Somali dishes, and it's just been lovely hearing the atmosphere. I love people enjoying themselves.
At this Supper Club, we guests are all white and middle class, and we've paid to come and try something new. But the feeling of hospitality and exchange runs strongly through the whole evening, which is what Foz is trying to do, not just at her Supper Club, but on the food scene itself. Forge her own way, just like Arawello was said to have done centuries ago.
I need to carve it out for the others who hopefully will be, you know, the food scene will get more diverse and there'll be a bit more nuance and there'll be a bit less the best new, you know, like different white people talking about the best new ethnic foods. I would love that. Let's talk about the food in a way which is a bit more meaningful and less consuming of otherness.
What you would have at weddings and mukhlamad is like this camel meat, and it's like, all right, like there's a younger generation that's just like, man, that is just, that's not particularly nice. But for an older generation, it's like, wow, look at this camel meat, this is amazing, and it's like dried up.
For DW, this is Emma Wallace in Bristol in the southwest of England.
We had some for a long time.